Good morning and welcome to Manna. I'm Pastor Ron here at Lighthouse Church, and we've been walking through the book of Proverbs, and we're currently in chapter 27. And so thank you for joining me, and we're going to pray, and we'll get right into our study. So won't you join me as we pray? Father, there is much to rejoice about the fact that you're a merciful God. And I so appreciate the fact that you don't just give us one, two, three strikes, you're out. But the Lord, you tell us that we should have a heart that's similar to yours, that says if your brother comes and he's repentant, then forgive him 70 times seven times. Forgive him in a time period when you can't keep track, but that you're willing to forgive if there's that heart of repentance. Because that's your heart, Lord. That reflects you. And so thank you, Lord, for the abundance of your grace, your unmerited favor, that we don't have to be worthy in order to be able to come to you or to receive favor from you, and especially to be saved by you. So we ask, Lord, that you would bless our time now as we spend time in your word. Teach us, equip us, speak to that depth of our hearts and minds. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever done something and you later on, after you've had time when the work is done and you sat back or it's the next day or whatever, you're thinking about it and you're going, oh, I wish I would have done that differently. Well, yeah, I've said that a number of times in my life, but it's true that I think about the opportunity that God gives us to teach his word, but as we see things and we teach his word, that even in the midst of teaching his word, we look and we see new things that we've overlooked, or then later on you think about it and you're meditating on it and life brings examples to you and it happens to be the very similar thing that you've been studying. And it's like the Lord expands his word. He goes, I want you to see it in this light, if you will, in this application. And so that's exactly what I need to do, because last week we looked at Proverbs 27, beginning verse 7, and this week I want to do it again, but this time it's a little bit different, so bear with me, okay? So let's jump in. Proverbs 27, 7, it says, one who is full loathes honey, but to the one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. You know, and of course, we talk about the recognition of valuing things that we have lost, but we don't value them until we lose them, right? But in this case, as I was looking at this passage, I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is also speaking to the person who's going through difficult times versus the one that things are all okay. What do I need to be studying God's word for? See, this is sweeter than honey is what I look at and go, wait a minute, even bitter things, even things of correction from God's word, when I'm going through a difficult time, is beneficial to me, is something that I want to receive and I want to be strengthened by, because that's what God's word does. And so it also does something else. It helps protect our hearts. Verse 8, like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. You see, when I'm in God's word, when I'm committed to that faithful time with Christ, then there's so much less likelihood for me to wander wherever and to stray or to be caught in a net that I can't see coming. And it speaks of a man, but it's mankind. But in men in particular, since we're visual learners by and large, the majority of us are, and we can be easily distracted. And it's like, no, being faithful in God's word, longing for, if you will, even the bitter, that correction, or the, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproving, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. Man, I need to equip myself every single day, because otherwise I allow myself to be vulnerable to things that would distract me from the things of God. It goes on, it says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Yeah, I didn't see that either, but oil clearly speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you know, that we are to anoint people with oil. Well, there's nothing magical or powerful in the oil itself, but it's representative and acknowledging the work of the Holy Spirit that God does. And of course, you know, that it's refreshing to be prayed for, anointed with oil. You know, I've had the opportunity to anoint many people with oil, but I remind them that it's not about the oil. It's about the work. It's representation of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, do I long for that? Well, typically, when are you anointing a person with oil? Is when they're going through a difficult time, when they're going through a bitter time. And so it's sweet to them. It's refreshing to them. And so then it says, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. This is my friend. Jesus, obviously, is my friend. And this is his word. It's all about him. The whole thing of life is about who Christ is and coming to know him and to worship him, to seek his counsel in the day, the counsel of his word. Then it says, do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. So kind of a little longer verse there for us of counsel. It starts out with, do not forsake your friend and your father's friend. You know, that there's a respect for people, not just for your friend, but also for their fathers, right? And I remember growing up, because my dad, I didn't have my dad in my life on a regular basis. It was very intermittent. But I so admired my friends whose dads were there in the home. I longed to get the counsel because they had experienced life a whole lot more than me. But there was something else. There was strength in that person's life because there was a heart of a father who was always there for their sons, my friends. And I always admired them. And appreciated them, and I wanted to emulate them. I wanted to be for my son, no matter if my son made good choices or not. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, because sometimes my friends and I, when we were younger, we made some bad choices, and there were consequences to those choices, but never did those dads ever abandon their sons. And so, man, if there was a place where I needed to go to get some counsel, it was in that place, to a friend. Not to my brother's house, but to a friend's house, one that I have a relationship with, one that I have a trust with. Well, who am I speaking about again? I'm speaking about the relationship that I have with my best friend, and his name is Jesus. It says here, be wise, my son, and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. And of course, biblically, you know, we can look at that of the recognition of the father speaking about the son and says, be wise, my son, and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. And of course, who is it that reproaches? It's the accuser of the brethren. And so we have the same thing. We have an enemy who wants to accuse us of our failures. But yet there's something that we have as believers in Christ. We have redemption through his forgiveness by the shedding of his blood. So here it is, very specifically revealed in Revelation 12, beginning verse 10, and it says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they have not loved their lives even unto death. That the way that we conquer this one who wants to accuse us and to bless, if you will, the Father is by what? by the blood of the Lamb covering us, the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's Jesus. And by the word of their testimony, that my testimony is not about what I do. My testimony is about what my God has done. And it's not about, I'm going to go work on my faith. I'm going to go increase my faith. No. Or I'm going to forgive myself. There's another term that kind of drives me crazy from time to time when people say, well, I need to learn to forgive myself. And can I pause and just say, hey, can you just embrace the forgiveness that God has for you? Just hold on to that. You don't need to try to figure out how to forgive yourself. No, He's forgiven you. That's more than what you would be able to do. See, it's those kind of things that we recognize. That's my testimony. My testimony is about who Jesus is and what He has done for me. And may your testimony be that same thing, because our faith is in a mighty God. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for joining me today. I'll see you next week.